Welcome to the City on a Hill podcast. City on a Hill is a Catholic young adult community located in the greater Kansas City area with a mission to inspire and form the young adult generation in their pursuit of sainthood. In each episode, we feature a young adult who will share their story of encountering Christ, some specific ways they are personally pursuing sainthood, and how they live on mission here in Kansas City. We are grateful you've decided to tap into our community and hope that you feel inspired on your personal pursuit of sainthood. Thanks for listening in, and here are your hosts.
Welcome back to another episode of the City on the Hill podcast. I'm your host, Father Andrew Mattingly. Happy to welcome alongside me as a co-host today, Miss Taylor Downey. Welcome.
Hello. Happy to be here.
And our guest today, Ms. Catherine Klimpers. Catherine, welcome on the podcast.
Thank you so much. Happy to be here.
And Catherine, lay out your story for us. What has Jesus done for you?
Yeah, he's done many things. I think basic kind of beginning of the story, cradle Catholic, grew up here in Kansas City. Definitely have had a supportive family on my faith journey. And you know, going to Mass on Sundays, going to Catholic school. But I do believe there's a supernatural gift of faith that was present even from the beginning. I always like to share the story of in first grade, we did a project all about me. It was like anything from your favorite color to your favorite sport. And there was a prompt that was, what do you want to be when you grow up? And really, I, to this day, like, no idea where this came from, but I said that I wanted to be St. Catherine of the Rainbow.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So, of course, clearly there was a misunderstanding of the saint title. Wasn't necessarily where you're from, but I thought it was your patronage. So I said I wanted to be this patron saint of rainbows and to send those as a hope, as a message of hope and joy. So, yeah, that was kind of where I was at in first grade.
Sweet.
Yeah. Oh, and to top it all off, there was another section of things you don't like. And I like remember clipping out these things from a magazine, pistachios, which I actually really like. I think I was just freaked out by them. Rotten tomatoes. And then I drew a picture of the devil.
Oh.
Yep. Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yeah. So didn't like him from the get-go, ready to be a saint. Yeah. And again, like that wasn't something that was necessarily being taught in my home. So there's really, I think it was just a gift from the Lord. And that kind of, yeah, set the tone of there's just this closeness with the Lord, I would say, from early on. Music's been a part of my story, so I loved like singing at church. I wrote my first song about Mary in third grade.
Wow.
And my music teacher helped me like write the notes out, which is really cute.
I'm just really curious.
Yeah.
Do you still have that?
You know, I know I've like really looked for it. I know that my mom like had it and I think I took a picture. So I'm still on the search because I don't currently have it. I want to like frame it, but yeah.
Can you actually sing it from memory? Or have you forgot it by now?
I maybe know it.
I don't mean right now on the podcast. But...
I do know some of it, yeah.
Okay.
That's amazing.
Okay. Well, maybe you can send us a recording afterwards and we'll put it.
It's very simple,
put
but
it in
it's
the notes.
Cute. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Wow. Third grade, 9 years old. That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. So that kind of, I think, just like paints a picture of just like where I was at, just this fondness of the Lord. And definitely grew in high school. I was a part of Life Teen and just like, I just ate it all up. Like the summer camps, the small groups, the Sunday night youth group. Like I was there, I was leading it. I loved it, all about it. And definitely was seeing like, oh, this is something that like, I just want to spend more and more of my time with. Like I would miss like, yeah, I remember I missed one of the dances at school, which was a big deal for me, to like lead a retreat. And it was this moment where I really was seeing like, this is a priority in my own life to not only grow personally, but to share that with others. So I knew that I wanted to go into ministry of some sort. And so just like even discerning college, it was pretty easy for me. I wanted to go somewhere I could study theology. So I went to Benedictine and was really excited about that. But I remember just even the first week being kind of caught off guard with this question of, okay, now what? Mm. What do I do? Like, that was just this big question. Like, I know I want to grow in my relationship with the Lord. What do I do? There are many options of things to be a part of. But yeah, I just was kind of confused at how I continued to grow without having, you know, youth group there for me. So I ended up joining a Bible study, but it wasn't until I went to a Focus conference. And really, it was kind of this offhanded, indirect realization from all the talks they were talking about. You know, whatever the talk was, they would somehow mention like, oh, yeah, daily prayer or like prayer of some sort. And I just kind of started to take notice of, I think they're talking about something different than what I know prayer to be. And it was kind of confusing, really, because it was like, I've been a part of this whole thing. Like, I love growing in my faith. I've been on the, you know, the cool kids list of the youth group from day one, but like, I don't really know what they're talking about. And I remember going home and I made a list of just like my friends who I thought maybe prayed. And I ended up like texting them being like, hey, do you pray? If so, awesome. Can we get coffee? Like, what does that look like? I had no idea. Knocking on some of my professor's doors, like checking out books. Thankfully, we have a theology section of our library at Benedictine. I didn't understand what people were talking about. Mm-hmm. And slowly but surely, yeah, there was this like, okay, structured, you do this every day, you're communing with God in a way that I don't think I have been. Mm-hmm. And so slowly I just started to, I had a couple mentors in my life, people discipling me who were just able to keep me accountable to just like, okay, go to the chapel, 5 minutes. Next day, 5 minutes, you know, just like build that up. And reading Time for God by Jacques Philippe was huge for me. Something was really convicting of me was he said something to the extent that the devil would try anything he can to stop you from building the habit of prayer because he knew that it was far less likely for you to be a part of his evil schemes. And since, remember, I didn't really like the devil, that was really convicting for me.
Understatement.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yep. So, yeah, that's kind of what set me up of just, like, growing in this habit of prayer. Everything, I think, in my story has been very gradual and just a beautiful journey because I think, like I said, they just have added on top of each other so much that I became a Focus missionary and those 2 years were just even again, like I felt like I was learning everything all over again and learning really what intimacy in prayer could look like actually hearing the voice of the Lord, coming to know how he speaks to me, really coming to know him as healer. That was something very particular, I think, in my story and realizing everything in my past the Lord wanted to talk about and redeem and heal. And I think like that's been the most transformative, coming to know that truth, and how like the Lord, yeah, these parts of my heart that I, didn't even know were hurting or that I've maybe subconsciously have hidden, like he wants to come into those. And really, I think I'm definitely still on that journey, but particularly coming to know my identity as beloved, as cliche as that might sound, I feel like that's everything. And how that happens now just in my daily prayer and also is so much of what I want to help other people know is like the Lord loves you, like actually, and to experience his healing on these deeper levels. So yeah, it's just been kind of this gradual journey, layer by layer, deeper, and I'm so excited to continue it, but that's kind of how I would share my testimony for you.
It's awesome. Thank you.
Yeah.
For sharing that. Uh-huh. It's just the first thing I thought of when you described, you know, some of those instances from being a little kid.
Yeah.
It is pretty amazing when I feel super privileged to be here at this parish because I get to see so many little kids already with like pretty significant like love for God at 4, 5, 6 years old.
That's so beautiful.
And it's like to give communion too, to like a 7 year old that's like really excited for communion is like the greatest thing on earth.
Wow.
So
it's so beautiful.
You sharing that is like, that's really, I don't know. I love hearing, I love hearing that. One question I do have, Catherine, towards the end, you mentioned, you know, as your prayer has developed, one thing that the Lord has led you to is kind of examining the past, if you will, and healing different things. And do you have any thoughts or maybe even advice for people on maybe balance isn't the right word, but like in terms of looking at our past versus, I guess, kind of looking ahead and like striving for like, okay, I want to live totally for you, Lord, tomorrow. I want to make it like the best day of my life. I feel like there's, I don't know if balance is the right word. I think for everybody, it might look a little different, but do you have any thoughts or any insight on like avoiding like an obsession about my past, but not neglecting it, right? If the Lord obviously wants to do things there versus like looking ahead to like, okay, all I can really like choose in a sense is like tomorrow, you know? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think so. I would say that the reason that I think it's good to journey with the Lord and looking at your past is so that the future is more fruitful, so that the present is more fruitful. And I think just coming, again, there were many beautiful influences in that time where this was all just like really unfolding really rapidly when I was a missionary. But seeing how I might be reacting in the present moment, my reaction might be far more greater than actually the problem at hand. And to see in communing with the Lord and even counseling to see like, oh, there's a reason for that. Like something has actually happened in my past that may seem really insignificant to me, but my little heart and my little mind have made some decisions then that are now affecting the way I'm reacting in this present moment that it's not helpful. So something that was really helpful for me in I think having that balance was hope for the future. Because I can't remember exactly how it was shared, but something to the effect of me taking the time to journey with the Lord in my own healing is going to be the greatest gift that I could give anyone that I encounter ever. Whether that's the, you know, it was the students I was working with, my teammates, my family, my future family, like, that's the greatest gift. They said me going into my own healing would be the greatest gift that I could give them. And that's been really convicting because it is not the funnest journey to go on all the time. It can be really painful, but it's the story of redemption, right? And it's hope for the future. And I think it's only allowed me to be more free in the present, to be able to give more of myself to others now. And I think when you stay with Jesus, he's going to provide that balance. It's never good if we go on our own into the past, but having the Lord himself and also like other pointed guides to help that balance, whether it be counseling, spiritual director, I think that those can be really helpful in having you live more fruitful in the future.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like how you put that, sort of like, one of the greatest gifts I can give to people in the future in my life is by looking at my own past and inviting the Lord into that. That's really interesting. It's something I pondered a lot just because, I shouldn't say a lot, but a decent amount, just because the current demand for like sort of things to help somebody introspect and self-examine is like at an all-time high. Like, you know, you just examine human history and like people always had like mentors or guides of some kind, but there wasn't this sort of like super intense, comprehensive, like examination of my past, like, is becoming extremely common now with, like, counseling and, and all sorts of other things. And there's obviously a lot of fruit being born, but I like history a lot. So it's just kind of an interesting thing to think about, like, well, has most of humanity missed out on something really, really critical? Or are we, is the pendulum kind of shifting too far and we're going to bring it back to the middle? Or like, but I also like what you said of, like, you know, if you stay with the Lord, like, he's going to be the one who guides, like, he'll help you to know, like, when you need to look at the past and when you need to nod. And so,
I think that there's seasons, right? There was a really intense season of really looking at the past, and then it kind of dropped off for 6 months, and then it kind of goes back. Like, at least that's been my experience for probably over the past 5 years. It's been a little bit in and out. And there were times where it was like, okay, like, the ground needs to rest a little bit. Like, this is okay. There's been significant healing. There's been significant insight as to my behavior and why I act the way I act. Now let's sit with that. Let's actually let that wound heal.
Yeah.
And then we can go on to the next one with the Lord when he allows.
Yeah. It's a great image. Yeah. Good. Well, Catherine, maybe share with us, something that currently you're kind of focused on to grow in your relationship with the Lord, to grow in holiness.
Many things. I think as I've shared in my testimony, just really coming to know the Lord through personal prayer. And thankfully that's just increased, and it's been a grace that I even, you know, desire it in the way that I do. And I recognize that, but it really is what keeps me grounded is my time with the Lord being prioritized every day. And that personal dialogue, usually for me in adoration, which is such a gift, daily mass, just being rooted in the sacramental life of the church. That's like baseline. Like, for me to be happy, healthy Catherine, like, I've got to be in communion with the Lord, and I feel it when I'm not. I totally feel it. It's just like a haziness maybe that I would describe a day where I'm not prioritizing my prayer. But beyond that, I think, like, as far as, like, just striving for a deeper formation, that's, like, always something I'm like, I just want to learn and be formed so that I can share that. And obviously I've shared, like, healing, kind of inner healing is definitely something my heart has just really resonated with. I love that. And something now that I'm actually about to partake in is more of a, I'm looking at, like, the holistic healing of, like, mind, body, soul, and really that integration. So that's something that I'm going to be continuing to dive deeper in with Reform Wellness. I don't know if you guys have heard of that, but super excited. They have a Lenten study that's going to start up. And I think that really is kind of the next step for me in striving for holiness in this journey of just health that I think the Lord's been bringing me through. That's been a part of the healing that I was talking about earlier, and coming to know all of me as a gift. That's been, like, tainted by sin. And so that's something that I'm really excited to grow in deeper with the Lord, and coming to see my whole self as a gift, and that healing of my whole self, not just maybe these memories or these areas of my heart, but particularly coming to know my body as a gift and how I can be a good steward of that as well. Yeah.
So this is like a Bible study or something you said?
No, it's really like a formation that is going to be online, and there's, there's like workbooks and stuff like that. And, I'm really excited, because I think, it seems to be really in line with what I have been journeying with the Lord. And, like I said, like, coming to know myself, as a gift entirely.
I've heard, I could not speak to much of Reform Wellness, but I've seen some things and heard about them, and they seem to be doing a really great job in like a niche area mm-hmm. of exactly what you said, mm-hmm. like integrating yourself, living fully undivided with the Lord.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mind, body, and soul. Uh-huh. So I'm excited for you. Yeah. You'll have to send us a review and let us know.
I know.
How it goes.
I'm really excited. I've been kind of discerning it for about a year now. It's definitely like an investment of time and money just to really like have the availability to actually like go into these things and to build these habits and mm-hmm. Lots of discipline. So I'm excited.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
Who came up with this? Is it like a new movement or is Reformed Wellness the name of a very like specific like initiative?
Yeah. So I know Jackie Mulgan is one of the I think she is the founder. Okay. And I know she's been in conjunction with some of the CFRs and I would say it is newer, although I don't know exactly when it was began within the past several years, not several, within the past few years,
yeah.
rather, I think is when it's been really kind of picking up. So I actually just did a weekend. They had like a virtual summit on Reform Your Body Image. And it was so beautiful, really powerful. They just had like, I think an hour and a half session for 3 days. And it was affirming for me of since I had already signed up for their longer program, because they really do focus in on like leading you to Jesus, but they have these different pillars that they'll go into. And anyways, I'm really excited.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So it is a explicitly Catholic.
Yes.
Kind of movement Catholic. Thing. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Reformed Wellness. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I just looked up their mission statement. It says Reform is a functional medicine and holistic wellness practice rooted in Christ. We redefines health as the state of body and soul together. It's kind of their mission statement.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Anything that makes us more integrated.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Society is about as disintegrated as you get.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm.
We just had the last podcast guest who was on. We're talking about a little bit about the disintegration of education in the sense of like you study subjects as these sort of silos. Mm. That's sort of modern education, whereas traditionally they were all connected, and that was a deliberate effort on a university's part or teacher's parts to kind of connect how the sciences and how the different areas of knowledge meet. So anything that, that's one of the functions of your old arch nemesis, right? He divides.
Mm-hmm. He sure does.
He divides. So, yeah.
Wow.
Great. Well, Catherine, tell us maybe some way that you're currently, so you were a focused missionary for a couple of years and now you're working at Benedictine College, right?
Yep.
So maybe tell us some way, whether it's in your formal work or maybe just in your personal life that you're trying to live on mission.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, it's so good. My original transition from being a full-time missionary to working at Benedictine, that was one of the hardest questions that I had because I now am in explicit ministry. I get to work in our college ministry now, but my first 2 years at Benedictine, I wasn't. And that was a really big question of how do I live mission when I'm at a desk all day? And it was a really tough question, right? Because it like changed. It was such a drastic difference. So in my first 2 years, it really was like these like small ways, right? Of just like trying to lay down my life for others. Whether it was like just trying to be attentive to the needs of my coworkers and like, okay, his water bottle's empty. I'm going to fill it up when he's gone. Like truly, like, right. Intercessory prayer is something I my heart just really, is united to the Lord in. And so I got to meet a lot of people because I worked in admissions. And so striving to, intentionally intercede for people just when I was at my desk was something that I would try to do. And I think like now it's really beautiful that I'm able to kind of transition more back into the relational ministry. But I'm grateful for the first 2 years really transforming my mind to see how these little acts can be mission. And I think this year I've been growing in an awareness really of my faults in communal living and really seeing my pride come out and just like, I think I know what's best all the time. And so I've been striving to love those around me in ways that they receive love. And those have been like some tough conversations, but so good because it's just allowed me to have, yeah, humility in trying to love someone in a way that's maybe not natural to how I want to love them and serve them. Doing the dishes. Oh, man. Mm-hmm. Haven't had a dishwasher for a couple years and it's tough. Just doing the dishes and putting them away. So, yeah, I think obviously that takes a lot of intentionality on the heart level because these things they just need to be done. But trying to do them with a service mind is more challenging. But yeah, I would say like those are some small ways. Again, I'm really excited that I get to now be back into full-time ministry, but the small ways are not to be neglected.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, some of the greatest saints, right, of our modern day, and according to John Paul II, the greatest saint of our modern day are all about the little things, you know? Mm-hmm. So like you said, they can't be neglected, even if we have opportunities to do amazing things.
Right.
Preach mm-hmm. to crowds,
yep.
help somebody to conversion.
Yep.
We still have to, I mean, if we love God, of course, we're going to want to like do the small things as well. So
yeah,
that's awesome mm-hmm. that you were kind of like put, I guess, pushed into that.
I definitely was pushed.
Situation.
Yeah. I totally was.
Yeah.
It was very different than, you know, leading Bible study and discipling women, mm-hmm. which I loved. Like, yeah. okay, I don't have the opportunity to do that as much. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What does that look like? How, mm-hmm. how do I share the love of the Lord?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. That's great, Catherine.
Great. Well, thank you for coming on the podcast.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. And also to our listeners, Catherine has an unbelievable voice. So we're going to put in the show notes some of her music that she's written herself, and you can check it out on Spotify or whatever.
Book her for your next event. Perhaps exactly. you're getting married.
Yeah. Yes, I would love to.
Yep. She's the best ukulelist I've ever met.
That's not saying much.
Oh. Yeah, it's a gift.
I've met three, so. good. Well, thank you all as well for listening to this episode of the City on a Hill podcast, and we hope you join us next time. God bless you.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the City on a Hill podcast. Consider subscribing so you don't miss another exciting episode, or leaving a review which may help others find the podcast and be inspired on their pursuit of sainthood. Check out our website at kansascityonahill.org and consider joining us at one of our upcoming events. Be assured of our prayers for you and for all young adults in the Kansas City area. God bless.